Aren't you glad tonight that he answers prayer? Have you ever been in a valley so low that you didn't think you'd ever get out, but then God showed up and there was a lifting? Hallelujah. Have you ever had the feeling you were walking in his strength and not your own? Have you ever walked through something and it just almost seems surreal that this is not something that I had the strength to do or the strength to be, but you're getting through it and you're victorious in it? And you know when the day is over, somebody might have patted you on the back and said, you did good, or you were so strong, or you were so wise. But you knew there was a lifting, there was a spiritual uplift, a draft of the Holy Ghost that had moved in your life. Hallelujah. It is so wonderful to be a part of what God's doing in the house tonight and to be alive in the kingdom of God. We're continuing a study through the Old Testament, and we are in the books of Nehemiah and Ezra. They are restoration models or templates, if you would. They are templates for how you come back after 70 years of being away from God, after 1,000 years of being apostate, never really fulfilling your call. And so you and I, we never stand a chance of being as far away from God as Israel. It takes many lifetimes to do that. But these are valuable components and lessons that we can derive from these books of Ezra and Nehemiah. Let's read tonight in Ezra chapter 8, and one simple verse. And we're going to talk about understanding for a little bit tonight. Praise the Lord. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 12. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. Nehemiah had just told them, they heard the word of God and they were very upset. They were mourning and they were weeping. And they were very upset because of the impact of the word of God. They knew they were guilty before the word of God. They all began to mourn and to weep. And Nehemiah said, stop that. Stop that mourning. Stop that weeping. He told them, he said, you need to eat the fat and drink the sweet and understand this is a holy day unto God. And have the understanding that the joy of the Lord is your strength. You can't do anything about your past. You just get it under the blood. You can't relive it. You can't reclaim it. You can't go back there. But you can do something about today. And you don't need to let today slip out of your grasp because you're looking over your shoulder at your yesterdays. You've got to live for God today. You've got to let go of those things that are past, whether good or bad or indifferent. He said, I want you to stop crying, blow your nose, get your composure. Eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions to those that don't have any, think about others. And they were happy. The Bible says that they went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth or joy because they understood the words that were declared unto them. God bless you. You can be seated. If you love his word tonight, give him praise for it as you're seated. Mighty God, we praise you. We thank you. We love you, O God. Thank you for your word that is forever settled in the heavens, immutable, unchangeable, always powerful. And everyone said amen. Amen. Praise God. We're looking at restoration components here. If you are on your way back into the kingdom of God, or if you want a higher experience in God than you've ever had before, these components will be of use to you and of value to you. And if you are a church that wants to be a place, a haven for people to come back and be restored, then these are components that need to be available and moving in your midst. And the church said amen. We were talking this morning that in chapter 8, in the book of Nehemiah, that Ezra preached to the people from a wooden platform or wooden pulpit, they called it. And he was above the people and he preached to them. And a long list of Levites were also there with Ezra. And they made the people to understand clearly what the word of God had declared unto them. And we talked about this morning, if you're going to come back to God, there's going to always be that human component. There'll always be a man in your life, a minister in your life, a preacher, if you would, in your life. You can't dodge that. You cannot get away from that. That's from cover to cover. In every dispensation, there's always been a prophet. There's always been a priest. There's always been a preacher. Everybody say praise the Lord. And I'm glad for the preachers in my life. I'm glad for those. Some of them were not carrying cards. Some of them were not formally ordained in ministry. But I would just happen to meet them on a job. Or I would happen to walk up and find them. Or some of those old elders in my home church. I tell you, no finer sermon's ever been preached than what some of those old timers told me when they had put their arm around me. And breathe into my spirit what they had experienced walking with a God that they loved so dearly. And these preachers are awesome in my life, and I thank God for them. You can't live for God without one. You won't succeed in God without that old wooden pulpit in your life. And we're not talking about the construction of it or the materials of it, but the fact that there is a pulpit in your life. And it does lift the voice up above the crowd. Ezra stood above the people. But listen, it was not the veneration of a man. It was the veneration of the Word of God. That has to be in your life. You have to have the capacity to venerate the Word of God above your own life. Because it doesn't matter what you think. It matters what the Word says. It doesn't matter what you feel. It matters what the Word says. It doesn't matter about your culture. It matters what the Word of God says. Somebody say praise the Lord. And as they began to preach, the elders made the word plain, and they made it clear, and the people were able to receive it, and they understood it. And we praise the Lord for these components, because we want to have them working in our lives, and we want to have them moving in our spirits. And when Ezra opened up the book, all the people stood up. When he opened the book, the people stood. They had respect for the word. They honored the word. They said, I'm going to stand here as this word's being preached. I testify to the fact that I believe it. They stood up when he opened the book. We live in a day where the word of God has been shunted to the side. They've taken it out of the schools. They don't teach it at the major universities. There's hardly any place you can go in a governmental forum and see the word of God anymore. Howbeit, this country was founded upon the word of God. Well, praise the Lord. But people are afraid of it, and they don't want that intrusive word in their life. Praise God. But these people stood, and by doing so, they said, we want this word in our lives. We want it to intrude. We want it to be sharper in our lives than any two-edged sword, separating to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, bone and marrow, down to the thoughts and the intents of my life. I want to come under the scrutiny of the word of God. I want to come under the knife of the word of God. And God, if there's something in me that's not like you, I want you to show me. I want you to cut it out of me. Somebody say praise the Lord. Don't you love his word? Don't you find hope in his word? Don't you find strength in his word tonight? What an awesome God. And he is inseparable with his word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. You can't separate him from his word. Praise God. If you want to know God, Jesus said, he told the Pharisees, he said, you think you know these scriptures. Study them, for they are those that testify of me. You can't know God, not really, outside this word. Oh, you can become acquainted with him in a natural setting with mountains and oceans and looking up into a starry sky. You can meet him because Romans chapter 1 clearly declares that the creation will tell you about him, even his eternal power and Godhead. But if you want to do business with God, it's going to be by the book. It's going to be by his word. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. And Ezra blessed the Lord God. And when he blessed them, all the people said, amen. And they said amen again. When Ezra blessed the Lord, the people said amen. They said, that's exactly how I feel about it. They said, I'm going to respond. I'm not content to sit and let you talk about him, but I'm going to throw it back at you. I'm not content to be a spectator. I want to be a participator. I want to be involved in this. When the word of God goes forth, I want to get in that ebb and flow of the Spirit. When the word of God goes forth, I want to lay claim to it and say, that word is for me. That word is for my house. That word is for my life. Somebody say amen. That's what amen means. I just tell you, it is inescapable that in the equation of God, the only variable of any consequence is your response. The devil doesn't matter. The enemy doesn't matter. The size, the shape, the texture of the circumstance, that doesn't matter at all, because that will vary. But throughout the ages, when somebody has responded to God, God is a constant. His word is a constant, static, unchanging. But the difference is in the response of the individual. Bartimaeus got his eyes healed because of his response. The little woman received the healing from the issue of blood because of her response. Somebody say praise the Lord. The people all shouted amen. Nehemiah stopped them from weeping and mourning and told them, this is a holy day unto the Lord. And you need to hear the word, eat fat, drink sweet, and send portions to those that don't have any. And what he's literally telling them is to focus on the good, the positive, the things that are good in life. You need to be able to look above the circumstances, negative things around your life. And you need to be able to say with David, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. David doesn't qualify that. He doesn't say what the nature of the day is. He doesn't say what the circumstances might be. He doesn't know yet. He says that in the morning. This is the day the Lord has made. He is just in a blanket sense saying, I'm going to rejoice today. How do you know that? You might get a pink slip today. I'm going to rejoice today. And I'm going to be glad in it. You might get sick today. I'm going to rejoice in it. And I'm going to be glad in it. Somebody might stab you in the back today. I'm still going to rejoice. He just said, starting the day, I've already made up my mind that I'm going to be a worshiper of the Most High God. Well, praise God. Praise God. So then we get into this chapter. And the people gain understanding by the preaching of the word. Chapter 8 and verses 2 and 3. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. You won't get this by absorption. Jesus said, let them with ears hear. And everybody in the crowd did this because they all had ears, but that's not what he was talking about. You've got to be attentive to the word of God. You've got to reach out and lay hold to the word of God. And it helps you if you are actively participating in the presentation of the word. Somebody say praise the Lord. Down in verse 7, there's a list of all the Levites that were involved. And at the end of verse 7, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. They had a system there. These are restoration components that we're dealing with and that we're handling here. There has to be someone to give you the sense and the understanding of the word of God. There's got to be somebody in your life that's going to open up the book to you and tell you what this book means, what thus saith the word of the Lord. Nicodemus told Jesus, he said, how can I except some man show me? Praise God. There's always been someone in our lives to open up the word of God to us. In this passage, they're gaining understanding, and they have joy because of their understanding. Down in verse 12, and all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth because they understood the words that were declared unto them. Do you know that most of the world's ills right now could be healed, and the weeping could be staunched, and the rifts could be mended, and the homes could be solidified, and the marriages could be saved, and the children could be raised in honor and in strength if people could just get some understanding about the word of God and appropriate it unto themselves. Well, praise the Lord. The further this nation gets from this book, the more desperate our day becomes. The closer, when I see people walk in the house of God and I see them as young adults pick up the word of God and I see them fashioning and framing their lives by the constructs of the word, I see wonderful things beginning to happen. I see transformations beginning to develop. I see them being restored to the principles of the word of God. It is an awesome thing to watch a life develop under the impression of the word of God. It is an awesome thing. You can build a life. You can build a family. You can build a church. You can change a city with the impact of the word of God. Does anybody believe that? You can change the culture on your job with the word of God. Proactive about the things of God. The people had understanding, and because they had understanding, they had joy. They understood what Nehemiah was telling them. I've got to turn loose of the past. I've got to turn loose of my misery, my disappointments, my failures, my lack of fulfilling my potential, my missed opportunities. I've got to let all that go, and I've got to stand in the middle of the promise of God today. I've got to lay claim to the promise of God today. Everybody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Now, They're not only hearing and understanding, but now they're going to act on their understanding. Verses 13 to 18, something happens. They hear about the Feast of the Tabernacle. On the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests, Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, unto even to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded by Moses that the children of Israel should dwell in booths, or little temporary shelters that they would build after they had come into the promised land. They would dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. This will be the Feast of Tabernacles, called Tabernacles because of the little structures that they would build to live in. And what he's doing, you go back to Leviticus chapter 23, what he's doing, he's teaching them not to ever forget the fact that they were wandering nomads in the wilderness and God brought them to a place of stability. And so when they have the Feast of Tabernacles, it's an 8-day feast, but it's to be enjoined in. They're supposed to be living out in the streets in these booths. And that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount and fetch olive branches and pine branches, myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of thick trees to make booths as it is written. Now, y'all are having children's church all the month of June. And have you built a brush arbor over there? You have it. You talked about it. But you're thinking about it, but you may not. But it's going to be old-timey anyway. Well, if you should build a brush arbor, you would need a frame and a structure, and then you'd get branches of all kinds, and you would lay them into place. And it's amazing how much spiritual activity went on throughout the heartland of this country under those old arbors throughout the Midwest and in the South. Tremendous revivals took place. Lives were changed and destinies altered in those old brush arbors. And here they're doing something that God committed to them in the law of Moses. They're building little booths and little tabernacles to live in for the duration of this feast. So the people, verse 16, went forth and brought them and made them booths and made themselves booths, everyone upon the roof of his house and in their courts and in the courts of the house of God and in the streets of the water gate and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. And so all over Jerusalem, you saw these little structures made out of branches and made out of palm fronds, and they had these little structures, and they were commemorating something that came to them vis-a-vis the word of God. Praise the Lord. Now, all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths or tabernacles and sat under the tabernacles, for since the days of Yeshua or Joshua, the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. And there was very great gladness. Now, are you listening to me? I know this is a long reading, but are you with me? Are you listening to me? You know, you understand. They found something by understanding, by actively participating and being attentive unto and appropriating the word of God to themselves. They came after submitting themselves to the pulpit of wood and the preaching in their life, and they came to a place of understanding. And as they came to understanding, they found something that had not been practiced in Israel for 1,000 years. They were the people of God. They were the people of the word. They had built the temple. Ezra had brought the word to them. They had built a wall around Jerusalem. Those restoration activities were powerful and they were awesome in their lives. But here they're digging. They're not satisfied. They're not complacent. They're not going to sit back and say, well, now we've got a temple. We've got a process. We've got the preacher. We've got the word of God. And now we got a wall about us and we're all secure and safe. They didn't do that. When he opened up the book, they stood up. They said, I want more of that. When he blessed the God of heaven, they said, amen. They said, I'm hungry for this. I want more of this. And in the reading of the word, they found something that the Bible says had not been practiced in Israel since the days of Joshua. That had been a full 1,000 years. They had been in captivity in Babylon for 70 years, but they go all the way back before the days of Solomon and before the days of David. And you say, well, how is it possible? Well, they did give sacrifices. You can go back to 2 Chronicles, and you can go back to Ezra, and you can find places where on the feasts, those great feasts, that's the same feast as Jesus was proclaiming in the street of Jerusalem concerning the last day of the great feast, and they sacrificed, and they came to the temple with the animals, and they had the animal sacrifice, but they didn't build the booths. There was something about the word of God they didn't know, and they didn't practice it because they didn't understand it. Nobody had taught them. Now they were the people of God. They had a preacher. They had a temple. They had a wall. They had a decree from the king of Persia to rebuild Jerusalem and become the people of God again and to obey the word of God. And they could have said, I've got a pedigree. They had researched all the genealogies and they knew who was a priest and who was not and who was a Levite and who was not. They had themselves back into a biblical construct again. And they could have said, this is all I need. This is all I want. We've got a wonderful thing going here. But they heard something else. They heard something else that they didn't have. They heard something else that they didn't know, and they said, I want everything the word of God has for me. I want it all. I don't want to walk by the word of God and dismiss what God has made available for me. And so they went out and they got branches and they got palm fronds and they began to drag them across town. And you heard in the reading of the word, they built them on their own rooftops and they built them down in the street in front of the water gate, and they built them in the street and by the gate of Ephraim, and they built them in the courts of the temple itself. And everywhere you went, there were people dragging palm fronds and branches around. They go out to the hillsides and, what are you doing? What is all that about? I mean, all these neighbors, they're for over 60, 70 years now, they've been watching these Jews rebuild and restore and regain and lay claim to the word of God and the promise of the word of God. And now here's something new they're doing. What are you doing now? Well, we found something in the word of God. I'm going with this branch. I'm going to build me a little tabernacle over here. Here it is. I got the frame up and here's the roof on it. And I'm going to sit right here for these 7 days. And on the 8th day, and we're going to pray and we're going to fast and we're going to feast and we're going to celebrate God. And this is called the Feast of Tabernacles. And that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing. Why are you doing that? Because the word of God says so. Well, your parents didn't do that. Yeah, but they didn't have understanding. Well, your grandparents didn't do it. Well, but they didn't have understanding. I know that this goes against the grain of where I was raised and how it was then, but I found something in the word of God. And I don't look at the word of God through the lens of those that I love. I don't lessen the impact of the word of God to the experience of those that I've associated with before. The word of God stands alone, the final source authority. And now that I have understanding, I've got to do what the word of God declares for me. Where are you going with that branch in your hand? I'm going to build me a little tabernacle and I'm going to sit in it. and I'm going to worship God according to the word of God in Leviticus. Now, you look foolish sitting in that little house. Yeah, well, foolish I may be, but I'm going to serve God and what God has told me. Well, we don't understand what you're doing. You may not understand it, but I have understanding. Your mama didn't do it well. Your daddy didn't do it well. Grandpa didn't do it. My God, son, we've had church around here in Jerusalem. We have rebuilt this whole city. Are you saying that Ezra was wrong and Nehemiah and Zerubbabel and all of these that came and rebuilt this wall? Are you saying my granddaddy that held a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other hand and he was rebuilding this wall with Nehemiah? Are you telling me he was wrong? Well, I'm not telling you anything, but I'm reading the word of God, and there was something he didn't know. He was wonderful in his zeal. He was accurate in what he did. He was powerful in rebuilding. But I found something in the word of God, and now I'm bound to obey it. I found something in the word of God, and now I'm bound by understanding to appropriate it unto my life. Praise God. Where are you going with that branch? I'm building me a little tabernacle, and I'm going to sit in this for the duration of the Feast of Tabernacles. Somebody say praise the Lord. Clap your hands unto him and bless his name. Praise God. Praise God. What a wonderful thing. What an awesome thing to find something in the word of God. The word of God is like an immeasurable, impossible to mine out, mine of precious gems and stones. It is unfathomable. You'll never, if you live to be 1,000 years old, you'll never get to the end of it all. And how many of you have lived for God for a long time, and then all of a sudden the word of God opened up to you, and you saw something new, and it spoke to you, and it moved you, and you responded to it, and the blessing of God came? Anybody have that experience? Praise God. Praise God. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of folks that are coming to a place like this on a Sunday night or this morning. It was nuts in this house this morning. You were running. I mean, the minute the music started, you were running. You say, well, what is that about? What is all that hands in the air? What is all that screaming and shouting? They don't mind that at the ball game. They don't mind it at the sporting event, but they want you to sit on your hands in the house of God. They don't understand. They don't have understanding. They don't understand the worship. They don't understand. They say, my mama didn't do it that way, and my daddy didn't do it that way. My grandfather wasn't involved in that. What are you doing? Where are you going with that palm branch in your hand? I'm going to build me a tabernacle of praise. I have found something in the word of God. Paul said, I would that all men everywhere would lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting. David said, I will lift up my hands in the sanctuary. The word of God said, we ought to praise him with all kinds of instruments. The word of God says, let everything that has breath give praise unto God. The word of God said, make a loud noise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. The word of God said, praise him with the loud cymbals and the high sounding cymbals. They didn't do that where I was raised. They didn't beat a drum. You didn't even clap your hands. The only sound of clapping was if I moved the wrong way, I got the back of a hand against my head and my head clapped. And there wasn't any rhythm to that at all. Just out of the blue. I didn't move much. Needless to say, none of us moved very much. But worship is movement. Worship is all through the word of God. Worship is movement. There is no such thing as reverence of being still and being quiet in the presence of God when it's time to worship God. You may not understand it, but I found something in the word of God. I found in the word of God, Jesus was entering into Jerusalem. And as he was, the people were going nuts. They were waving their coats and they were waving palm fronds. And they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
And the Pharisees said, don't you hear what they're saying? Make them be quiet. Oh, where are you going with all those palm fronds? Where are you going with those branches in your hand? What are you doing? What does all this activity mean? We don't do it like this. This is not the way we've done it. We haven't done it, and our forebears didn't do it like this. What are you doing? Jesus said, if these hold their peace, the stones are going to cry out. God's going to have praise. God's going to have praise. Somebody's going to make up their mind they're going to praise him. Praise the Lord. Where are you going with that palm branch? Where are you going with that little branch in here? I'm building myself a tabernacle of praise. Well, people won't understand you. Well, that's their problem. I understand the word of God. Well, your mom didn't do that, or your dad, or your Uncle John, or no, none of your forebears were involved in that praise business. It doesn't matter. I've seen it in the word of God, Brother Robert. I'm going to be a praiser. I've got understanding. It is therefore incumbent upon me to be a praiser of the Most High God. Let's give him praise right now. Would you do that? No, you're not going to do this. You're not going to slip off into the summer doldrums. You're not going to do it. Praise the Lord. I was so happy to see you get the Holy Ghost the other night. That was so awesome. No. You don't understand. We found something in the Word of God. And we're going to do it. We're not just going to say, yes, it's there, I see it. They didn't just say, I see it. They didn't just say, I understand it. They said, now that I have understanding, it's incumbent upon me to be responsive to the word of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Give me high sounding cymbals, loud cymbals. Says it in the word of God that we ought to praise. Lift up every tambourine in the house. Hallelujah. 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 When I think of his goodness, all he's done for me. When I think of his goodness, how he set me free. I want to dance, dance, dance all night. What are you doing? Why are you running? What is all this about? What does it mean? Why are you behaving like this? We found something in the Word of God. And we're bound to obey it. What's wrong with these young people? What's wrong with these children? Don't they know that children should be seen and not heard? Not in the house of the Lord. Come on, get something in your hand and wave it to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now, we don't do this just because it's the custom of the church that we came into. We do this systematically. We teach this. How long have we been in Bible study at Buongiorno's? Forever. Since you were just little niños. That's right. Every Monday evening, Bible study. Bible study. Systematically, we've gone through a study in the Bible study on praise. We've gone through a study in the growth class on praise. We've talked about it from one end to the other, from Dan to Beersheba. We've talked about praise, every kind of praise, every way to praise. Because I don't want you doing this just because you feel it. I want you to do it by understanding. Because there'll be a day when you don't feel like praising. But praise is still the way of the Word of God. There'll be a day when your heart is broken, but God is still worthy. There'll be a day when your friend has turned his back on you, but God is still worthy. There'll be a day when sickness comes to your house, but God is still worthy. I love the feeling of praise. I love the presence of God. I love the fellowship of God's people in praise. But I don't praise because of what I feel. I feel what I feel because I praise. And I praise by understanding. Somebody say praise the Lord. Take your neighbor's hand and shake it and tell him it's a great day to praise God. Turn to somebody and say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I don't care what the devil does. He didn't give me my joy, and he can't take it away. I don't care what the world does. Why are you people running? Why are you people acting like this? We've seen something in the Word of God. And we have understanding. And we come before Him with understanding. Not because somebody made us. Not because it feels like it. But because it's the Word of God. Praise God. So, there should never be a dead service. There never should be a dead saint of God. Brother Robert, when he sees you coming, he ought to see you the same way Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. In the house and on the street. In the house and on the job. Always the same. Because I'm defined not by my feelings, not by my circumstances, but I'm defined by the Word of God. My God, tell your neighbor that. I'm not defined by circumstances or by feelings, but I'm defined by the Word of God. Where are you going with that palm branch in your hand? I'm building up my life by the Word of God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Warren, I found something in the Word of God. Now, it wasn't the way I was raised, and it wasn't like they did it back where I came from. Matter of fact, most people don't do it this way. But I saw in the Word of God where Jesus stood with all of his disciples and he said, I want you to go forth into all nations and I want you to make converts or teach them, make them into disciples. And he said, I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And Peter went out And on the day of Pentecost, when the church was born, the people in the street were amazed. They said, how is it that all these men that we see here are Galileans, and yet we hear them speak in the languages wherein we were born? They were from 17 different nationalities all around the Mediterranean basin. They had come to Jerusalem for the feast. And they were there in the street when the outpouring of the Holy Ghost first came upon the 120. And they said, what does this mean? What is this about? Some said they're drunk. Some would say you were drunk tonight if they came in this place. But we're not drunk, not like you think. Peter said these are not drunk as you suppose. But this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last day, saith God, I'll pour out upon my spirit, upon all flesh. They received the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you've heard of me. He said, because you shall receive the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Turn to your neighbor and say, the apostles did not have the Holy Ghost until the book of Acts. Otherwise Jesus wouldn't have said, go wait for the Holy Ghost. If you already got the Holy Ghost, I don't tell you, go wait for the Holy Ghost. Okay. You got the Holy Ghost? Don't wait for it, because you already got it. Understand that. But Jesus told them, go wait for it. So they were waiting for it. They were in that upper room about 7 days. You can run the chronology from the cross. 50 days down to Pentecost. 50. They were there 7 days in that upper room or whatever area of the temple they were in. And the Bible said, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and begin to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. They received the Holy Ghost and they talked in tongues. When Peter went down to the house of Cornelius, Acts chapter 10, he's preaching the word of God to them. And the Gentiles, not Jews, but Gentiles, were in the house. And the word of God, chapter 10 of Acts, says that, and while Peter yet spake, the Holy Ghost fell upon all. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Jews that were there, they were amazed that those that were uncircumcised had received the gift of God. For they heard them speak with tongues and prophesy. My God. It fell at Samaria on Samaritans. It fell in the house of Cornelius on Gentiles. In Acts chapter 19, it fell on those of Ephesus. The word of God said that they received the Holy Ghost and they talked in tongues. How many of you have read that in the word of God? Now there's a lot of people that say you can't have the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of people that say it was just for back then. But I found something in the word of God. And I'm going to build myself a Holy Ghost tabernacle. And I'm going to dwell in that tabernacle of Holy Ghost. Somebody say praise the Lord. I've got understanding now about something in the word of God. Nicodemus wants to talk theology with Jesus. He said, we know you're a teacher sent by God because nobody can do what you've done except they be sent by God. And Jesus said, he didn't say it, but it's in the undertone. I'm not going to talk theology with you. He said, you got to go back and start again. He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus said, I'm 50 years old. How can I enter into my mother's womb again and be born? Jesus breaks it down to its principal parts. He says, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Or you can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. My God. got to be born of the Spirit, or you can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now listen, when I came into the church, I was a long-haired hippie freak. And I came in, and these really square, conservative Pentecostals began to tell me about the Holy Ghost. Now, these were Holy Ghost days back in the 70s. I mean, everything. Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians and Catholics. Everybody was getting the Holy Ghost. Anybody that had an open heart and their hands in the air, bam, 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 bam. It was falling on everybody. It changed the whole landscape of Christianity in America. Praise God. But they began to tell me about that, and I had never heard that before. I was raised up in Sunday school all my life, but nobody ever told me you could receive the Holy Ghost. Nobody ever talked about talking in tongues. I mean, nobody. They relegated that off into the black bayou of snake handling and strange things. We just didn't talk about that. And I was schooled in the Word of God. I said, I've never seen this before. But you know, that's not all that odd. Those Jews were the people of God. They were the possessors of the Word of God. They had been God's people for 1,000 years. But they didn't know about building little tabernacles. When I came in, I'd never heard about the Holy Ghost. I didn't know that it existed. I know a Baptist preacher didn't know about the Holy Ghost. He didn't know about the Holy Ghost. And then old Silas and Daniel began to tell him about the Holy Ghost. And he was preaching in a Baptist format and raised up a church down there in 6 Mile of over 100 just on guts and zeal. And then he found out about the Holy Ghost. And he came back into that little Baptist church, a tongue-talking holy roller. But when he came in the door, he had a palm branch with him. And all those people wanted to know, what you doing with that palm branch? He said, I'm going to build a church here. I'm going to build me a, I found something in the Word of God. And I've got understanding. And I'm going to build me a Holy Ghost tabernacle. But they said, we ain't having none of that. And they sent him on down the road with that Holy Ghost. Because you're going to meet a lot of people that don't understand the moving of the Spirit. That don't understand the infusion of that apostolic power in your life. But it's okay. I tell you right now in the Holy Ghost, you're going to raise up more than you had then. You're going to raise up bigger than you had then. You're going to raise up strength and anointing in that place. You're going to raise up men, anointed men, to carry the mantle of God in that little corridor. Hatisa. Holy Ghost! Holy Ghost! Holy Ghost! Holy Ghost! Shannon called me tonight, wanted to know how to get to church. She said, do y'all worship? I said, we try. Do y'all have a move of the Holy Ghost? I said, that's what we come for. That's what we want. Praise God. It wouldn't be worth coming if we didn't have a move of the Holy Ghost. It wouldn't be worth being here if there wasn't an infusion of the Spirit of God. Moses said, Lord, if your spirit go not up there, then don't take us. We don't want to go where your spirit isn't going to be. Praise God. Praise God. I want you to just feel after his presence here for a moment. If you've got the Holy Ghost, let that heavenly language flow. Place, God. fill our lives, oh God. Can't get enough of that Holy Ghost. Where are you going with that branch in your hand? I found the Holy Ghost in the Word of God, and I won't leave without it. I won't live without it. I won't walk without it. Clap your hands unto Him. Bless His name. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. The people in the street, Acts chapter 2, they said, what does this mean, Peter? And Peter stepped out. He said, this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days saith God, I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. He began to preach to them a little 400-word sermon about Jesus Christ, the Messiah, God come to earth to sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. And when he taught them from their own scriptures, he said, you tell me, what did he mean when he said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? He said, David is still in his grave today. Who was he talking about? He said he was talking about this Jesus that's not in his grave. He's risen. It struck their heart. Chapter 2, verse 37. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. And they said to Peter and the rest of the brethren, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent. Now I know that our society says you can live any way you want, but the Word of God said, repent. I know that pulpits all over this city say there's no such thing as sin anymore, but the Word of God says, repent. Now watch this. And Peter said, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. I turn back to Matthew 28:19. Jesus clearly told that hard-headed fisherman to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And here he's given him the keys, Matthew chapter 16. Thou art Peter, small rock, but upon this Petra, upon this rock of Gibraltar, will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He said, and I give you the keys of the kingdom. And what you bind on the earth will be bound in the heavens. What you loose on the earth will be loose. Peter's got the keys. Peter steps out with a mandate. And he says, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission, the forgiveness, the cleansing, the washing of your sins. What's the matter with Peter? Can he hear good? Is he just obstinate? Did he just forget? What's the matter with Peter? Now you got to watch this razzle dazzle. Because I went in when I saw this in the Word of God. I went into my old pastor and I said, Pastor, I got to have some understanding here. Jesus saying one thing, Peter saying something else. And he closed, Brother Mike, the book. And he said, I'll take Jesus's words over Peter's. And I'm 20 and I'm green and I'm brand new to the Word of God. But I said, you can't close the book. You can't put Peter at odds with Jesus. There is no variance or dissent in the Word of God. There's harmony and there's agreement. There's consistency and there's power in the Word of God. So I went on over and I found where Philip went to Samaria. And he healed them and he cast out devils. And when he preached Jesus, they believed it. And he baptized them all. The Word of God said, in the name of Jesus.
Peter and John came down to pray for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For he had not fallen on any of them, only they had been baptized in the name of Jesus. Isn't that a shock? You know, Brother Warren, I was raised all my life. I was taught that when you believed in your heart, confess with your mouth, you receive the Holy Ghost. These folks believed, and to the degree of being baptized, they had repented of their sins. And they still didn't have the Holy Ghost. They are separate, identifiable experiences. Penance, water baptism, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost are separate, identifiable experiences. My God, my God. I went on over in the Word of God. And at the house of Cornelius, Peter baptizes them in the name of the Lord. Somebody tell me what the name of the Lord is. Paul in 19 at Ephesus. And Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? There it is again. Got believers without the Holy Ghost. They said, well, we didn't know there was a Holy Ghost. And I can relate to that. I didn't know there was a Holy Ghost either. And he is stupefied. He said, well, how are you baptized? Because he knows there's a connection. They said to him, like John baptized. See, Apollos had just passed through there. Apollos was a convert of John the Baptist, and he was baptizing people all over the region. Only way he knew how, unto repentance. Telling them, repent! Doing them just like John the Baptist did. But when Paul came, he said, John verily baptized unto repentance. But he was talking about the one that would come, which is Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were all baptized in Jesus' name. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. I took the record of the book of Acts, the beginning of the church, and all the apostles to a man baptized in Jesus' name, consistent with the teaching of Paul. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, praise God. I go back to Matthew 28, and then I understand. Because Isaiah said, for unto us a child is born, a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. The baby is the Mighty God. Jesus is the Mighty God. He said he's the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And then I understood the name of the Father. It's Jesus. You don't think so? Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. It's the name of the family of God in heaven and earth. That at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow and every tongue's going to confess. And then my sister, who was a French and English graduate, had been teaching since Methuselah. I said, diagram this sentence for me. And she took you back to Miss Grumby's 8th grade class. Baptize in the name. Name is a noun. Just turn this around where you can see it. Name is a noun. Go to Matthew 28, 19. Ho! Everybody say, name is a noun. Of the Father is a prepositional phrase. Of the Son is a prepositional phrase. Of the Holy Ghost is a prepositional phrase. They all point back to name. One name. Not names. Not plural names. Just name. There's one name given among men under heaven by which we might be saved. Where you going with that palm frond in your hand? I found something in the Word of God
It is the name of Jesus. There's power, power, wonder-working power. What are you going to do? I'm going to build me a tabernacle to the name of Jesus. I'm going to pray for the sick in Jesus' name. I'm going to bless the food in Jesus' name. I'm going to baptize everybody I baptize in Jesus' name. Well, hold on. My mama didn't do that. That's all right. She's not in the Word of God. Peter did. Baptize him in Jesus' name. Wait a minute. Grandpa didn't do that. That's all right. Grandpa's not in the Word of God. Paul baptized in Jesus' name. I'm in good company tonight. Putting them down in the name that is the name of the Father. Brother Warren, are you a father? Are you a son? Do you have a spirit? Are you a craftsman of some sort? Do you have any other titles? You do. Yeah. Do you have a checkbook? Does Sister Tywanda let you have the checkbook? And when you sign on the bottom line there, do you sign Father? Do you? It's a title. Do you sign Son? Do you sign Able Craftsman? What do you sign? Your name. They won't cash it without your name. They'll send it back to you without your name. It's not valid. It's not legal. It's not lawful without the name. Who died for you? Who rose again? Who overcame death? Who overcame hell? Who overcame the grave? I found something in the Word of God. Where you going with that branch in your hand? I found something in the Word of God. I found something called holiness. I found something called godliness. I found something called discretion. I found... Well, people don't do that anymore. Ah, but I'm going to build a tabernacle. Let's stand together. Turn to somebody. Say, where are you going with that branch in your hand? Tell them, I've heard the word of the Lord. And I'm going to build a life. I'm going to build a tabernacle. I'm going to build a house, a family, a church, based on understanding the Word of God. Praise God. You're out of your mind. Nobody does it that way anymore. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're the only one, but you're standing with the Word of God. Somebody tell me how many were on the boat. 8 people out of all the world. I'm not interested in numbers. I'm interested in biblical clarity. Praise God. Can we all come down around the altar tonight? If you need the Holy Ghost, as soon as you get down in this altar area, lift up your hands and begin to love Him. If you need to repent, repent of your sins. Tell God you're sorry. You don't want to run the thing anymore, but you want Him to run it. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, it's as powerful an experience as the receiving of the Holy Ghost. You need to go down in the water in Jesus' name tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Come on up close, fellas. Take a step up. Make room. Lay your hand on somebody. Come on, let's begin to praise and worship God together.